You know, this week we celebrate not only Memorial Day, but Memorial Day is also the beginning when we celebrate the summer season. How many of you like summer? Raise your hand. Amen. And what a difference a season makes. My son was over at our yard, and he was looking at our yard and talking about how everything was blossoming and blooming in the flowery month, and how everything looks so different from in the wintertime just because of the season change. And that's the way it is right now. And we discussed the beauty of May and the beautiful late May weather. And you know, when we get into this warmer weather, you start thinking about water and getting wet to cool down a little bit, don't we? And you see people wanting to get wet and get in a wading pool, get in a swimming pool. Some people just like to dive into that cooler water and swim. Others like to wade in and get deeper into it. But that puts me in mind of the song that they just sang, "Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Step into the water of His love." And that puts me in mind of our scripture. Please turn to Ezekiel 47 this morning. Ezekiel chapter 47. And as you're turning there, keep in mind that this scripture, the prophet Ezekiel was taken to Jerusalem in the future. He did some time travel and he saw the temple of God there in Jerusalem on the mount that's going to be elevated there. And he saw coming out of the east side of the temple of God, water issued out of that temple. It flowed out of that temple. And it flows through the wilderness of Judea, which is a wilderness, down to the Dead Sea. And it's going to heal the waters of the Dead Sea so that fish can swim in them. I swam in the Dead Sea in 2016 with my wife, and you just float. Everything floats, and nothing lives there. It's dead because of all the minerals and the high saline salt count. And it's quite a place, but the waters, nothing can live in them. And then you go up through the wilderness of Judea, which we did, and we went out into where David ran from Saul, and we saw a cave there and waterfall, and we sat right under the waterfall, just let the water hit on us, and we had our regular clothes on, made us wet. We walked away from that and our clothes dried within about 5 minutes in that desert. And then we saw a coney there, weird looking animal. Bible talks about a coney. And we went up from there to Jerusalem, and our tour bus, we saw Jerusalem. My wife began to cry as they played Jerusalem, and we saw the place where this temple is going to be, the city of God. What a sight. And Ezekiel is seeing that sight in the future and talking about this water that will flow out of the house of God that will be there in the future, this water that will heal people, this water that will heal the Dead Sea, this water that gives life. And that puts me in mind of the fact that that water flows out of the house of God. And can I say to you that if you are in the house of God today, there are blessings for you. You may miss a blessing a week or two, but you stay around here, you hang around here, and you're going to see the blessing of the one that I believe guided Ezekiel to go forward and make progress in this stream of living water that came out of the temple of God. And so there was Ezekiel, and he was led by a divine guide. I believe it's the Lord Jesus. And Ezekiel's guide was to show him with a measuring rod, a measuring line, it says, the waters that ran out of the house of God. Now, it ran out from the east. The source of it was the east. You say, why the east? Well, the sun rises in the east. Amen? And the east is where the Garden of Eden was. And when mankind sinned, Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and it was subject to death, God promised that I will provide a lamb that will take away man's sin. And God killed a lamb right there in the east and took its blood, and that blood was to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. And then the skins were to cover their nakedness. And that pointed forward to God's promise in the garden in the east, where he said, from the east a Savior is going to be born that will be the Lamb of God that will die for our sins and give us eternal life. And of course, he was born in Bethlehem in the Middle East. He was raised in Nazareth. He went to Jerusalem. He got arrested. And as an innocent lamb who never sinned, he was crucified on a cross so that your sin and my sin could be washed away if we'll trust in him to save us. He rose again there from the east and outside of Jerusalem in the garden tomb. He rose again and ascended back into heaven. And he's coming again. And the Bible said his glory's going to shine from the east. He is the one who came from that. And so these living waters are going to flow out of the temple of God, from the east side of the temple of God. And so the Bible says in Ezekiel 47 verse 2, there ran out waters. That means they came out from the east side very rapidly, flowing fast, but they were shallow at the beginning as they flowed out. And then they got deeper and deeper because the man with a measuring stick was to walk downstream from the waters that ran out of the house of God. And it says in Ezekiel, measure 1,000 cubits. How long is that? That's a third of a mile. And so he was to measure a third of the mile, and the water was just enough at the beginning to get the feet wet. And then if you went 1,000 cubits, a third of a mile, it covered the ankles. When Ezekiel walked through it, it covered his ankles or covered his feet at that point. But then the divine guide said, okay, measure another one-third of a mile and go through the water. And now the water covered his knees. It covered his knees, that living water that heals, that flowing water out of the house of God. And then he did it again. He measured another third of a mile. And guess what? The water was up to his loins, which is up to his waist. And he walked through the water up to his waist. But he wasn't done. He said, measure another 1,000 cubits, another third of a mile, and go through those waters. And he couldn't go through them by walking. He couldn't wade anymore. He had to swim because it was a deep river of water that began shallow and now is flowing. And he's swimming in that water. Now, can I say something? I see spiritual application for your life here today. First, the first thing you must do is receive the gift of living water from the Lord Jesus Christ. At first, you get your feet wet by stepping in to the water of God's wonderful promise that you can have eternal life through the price that Jesus paid, through the blood that he shed, and you trust the Lord as your personal Savior. And you get your feet wet by being saved. Have you been saved yet? You could come to church, but you need to get saved. But then you walk a little further and you get your feet wet. And what does the feet stand for? Well, some of you have received that new life in Christ, but the feet stand for going out and telling others. You walk out, you go out on your feet, and you tell others about Jesus Christ. But then it goes on from there. It says go a little bit deeper and go another third of a mile. And now you walk through the water and it covers the knees. And you know what the knees talk about. And then after you go into the knees, you're to go to the loins, a third of a mile, and your waist is covered, and you go out there in your Christian life and experience. But some people, that's about enough for them. I'm going to wade to my waist. I'm not going to go any deeper. How many just gone into water and you waded, and that's all you did? You just had some wading time. Yeah, I've done that. You might go to your knees, you might go to your waist, and that's all the farther you go. But he wasn't done. The divine guide said, okay, measure another third of a mile, and you're going to go so deep now, you can't wade anymore. You've got to swim in the water. In other words, you are truly all the way in. And some of you have gotten to that point. Listen to me. When it comes to the water of life, the Christian life, you are all the way in. But the first thing I want to say is you've never experienced this new life in Jesus Christ. You need to experience and come on in.
Yes.
The water is fine. Those of us that know we're saved, those of us that have a no-so salvation, we've come in and we can say to you, the water's fine. Come on into the water of eternal life. Come on into the water of salvation. But may I say to you that are saved, you're already in, you know that you're saved. Can I say to those of you, go get in and cover your feet in God's love and grace. And if you've done that, can I say, wade out a little bit deeper until the water covers your knees. And you say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, come on in. If it's just got your feet wet, come on in. And the water's fine. Cover your ankles. Come on in. The water's fine. Cover your knees. And let's say you come in and you cover your knees. Well, I'll say, come on in and cover your waist. Cover your loins. Come on, get in a little bit deeper. And maybe you're in and you're wading in and you've covered your waist. I'll say to you, come on in and get in all the way. Swim in the water of God's grace. Swim in the water of God's love. And I believe that there are some spiritual applications that we need to make today from Ezekiel 47. And the first thing I want to say is the best place to get your feet wet for salvation is in the house of Almighty God. I was out the other day, went to a play that my granddaughters had been in, and we went there, and my son's father-in-law was there, and mother-in-law, Jim and Debbie, and we went back to my son's house. And they had a guy named Keith there, and Keith was Jim Lanson's brother-in-law, and his wife, Jim Lanson's sister, was there. And Marge, her name is, and we were talking to them at my son's house. And I remember asking Keith if he were saved or not, and Keith wasn't saved. I wonder if I ask you today, are you saved? I think some of you would say to me, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I don't have a Bible reason to be saved. I want to say to you, the best place to get saved is right here in the house of God. It's where the water of life is offered to you. You say, what are you talking about? The Bible says the Spirit and the bride say, come. The house of God, the people of God, we're the bride of Jesus Christ. And we say, hey, we're married to Jesus. Come on, get your feet wet with the water of life. Get really saved. Are you born again? The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things are written that you may hope you have eternal life, think you have eternal life. No, no, no. Know you have eternal life. K-N-O-W. You can know it. Why can you know it? Jesus paid for it. Why can you know it? God doesn't lie. In fact, he cannot lie. Titus 1. I have trusted, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he, God, Jesus Christ, is able to keep that which I've committed unto him, Jesus Christ, against that day. I'm not talking about dead religion.
Amen.
We were talking to Keith, Jim's brother-in-law, and Jim Lanson, my son's father-in-law. He saw me ask whether this guy was saved. He saw me witnessing to this guy about Jesus Christ named Keith. He was about our age, you know, Keith. And we were talking, and Jim was saying to him, you know what, Keith, he said, I walked into a Baptist church. He said, a lady put her arm around my shoulder years ago, and she said, are you saved? And he said, well, I hope so. I'd like to be. He said, I was a Catholic. I took the communion, I did all the things in the religion, you know, I was supposed to do, went to Mass and took the communion and all this stuff. He said, but I wasn't sure I was saved. And then this lady told me, you can know you're saved. And he said, Keith, it's not about dead religion. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I said, yeah, Keith, it's like, you know about George Washington. You know about Abraham Lincoln. George is on a $1 bill. I said, Lincoln's on a $5 bill. You got Jefferson on the 10. You know about him. I said, the only other guy I know about is I think it's Hamilton on a 10. Jefferson's on the 20. I said, that's about as far as I go, Keith. I don't see much beyond that. But I said, you know what? You know about these people. You may know about Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, I know about Jesus. But you don't know him. You don't know him until you realize that you are in sin and you can't save yourself. And you need Jesus to save you. And you put your faith in him to save you, and he will save you. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I invited Keith to come and prayed with him right there in the house as we were talking. And that's great to get saved in a house. You can get saved in a house. You can get saved outside. But one of the greatest places to get saved is right here in God's house. You're here this morning, and I'm saying to you this morning, if you've not gotten your feet wet and have a salvation that you know you're going to heaven when you die, you can know that, and I'm saying to you this morning, come on in. The water is fine. This is the best place for you to get saved. And you know what? The water, when it comes out, if you read verse 2 here, it says at the end of verse 2, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. It's like it came out like a little trickle, very shallow. And you know what? The message of the good news of Jesus Christ is very simple. It says, God says that you're a sinner. Even a child can understand it. You've sinned against God. Number two, it says, there's a price for sin. You're going to have to die and pay for your sin by dying and then going to the second death, which is hell. It's a literal place of fire. I didn't want to burn in hell. But number three, that God came out of heaven in the person of Jesus, was born of a virgin, God became a man and lived as a perfect man and died on a cross to pay for the sins of the world so anybody in the world could be saved. That's why he rose from the dead. And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you, you'll be saved. Not your religion, not getting baptized or joining a church, going through a religious routine. And so I want to say to you this morning, if you haven't got your feet wet by getting saved, come on in, the water's fine. Take that step of faith and put your trust in Jesus Christ. But if you are saved, can I say this to you this morning? I'm going to take my coat off. Amen. Getting hot. I'm going to say to you this morning, you need to wade out a little bit deeper. Amen. And that's what the prophet Ezekiel did. He went down a third of a mile. And let me say, not only the best place to get your feet wet in salvation is the house of God, the best place to get your feet covered in the house of God, the church, is go to the house of God and get your feet covered. It says in verse 3 of Ezekiel 47, and the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward. He measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to his ankles. Amen and amen. By the way, I believe that man was Jesus. Amen. And you know what? He went first into the water. And first he went into the water of death, burial, resurrection to save you. And then he went a little bit deeper. And the water covered the ankles, or covered the feet of the divine guide. Covered the feet. And when you go to a church like this, you step into the healing waters and you get saved. I was talking to somebody, a young person, and they were abused by an older person. And hurt, their life was hurt. I said, when Jesus was whipped, the Bible says, by his stripes we're healed. Amen. I said, if you trust him as your Savior, he'll heal you from that hurt. He'll take away that hurt from your life, that pain, and he'll make you whole. And you know what? This young person trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're here today in church. Thank God for that. Praise God for that. But not only you step into the water of salvation, get the healing of salvation, you go forward and you cover your feet. Those healing waters cover your feet. You say, well, what do the feet represent? That means that you need to get your feet busy for God. You need to march on the gates of hell with your feet. That's the next thing that you should do. You say, what are you talking about? You should come to a church like this and get saved today. If you're not saved, then you should go home and tell them about Jesus and that you met him and that he saved you. And you should go and tell people. You know, an army has to have their feet taken care of. George Washington's army that fought in Valley Forge, they didn't have the proper shoes on. That is really hard to fight if you don't have shoes on your feet. You know, Jesus, when he had his disciples, remember, he washed their what? Feet. That's because when you're in the world, if you have things that get on your feet, it's like the sin of the world, then it's hard for you to go up to somebody else and tell them how to get saved. I'm so glad that this week I was out with my feet just about every day telling people how to get saved. And I'm doing it this morning here in the house of God. My feet took me here. Have you had your feet covered? Have you taken your feet and gone out there to tell people about Jesus Christ? We have the opportunity in this church so that you can go and go with somebody and learn how to tell people about Jesus Christ. And that is the second thing that you ought to do. You should get saved, baptized, join the church, and then go out there and tell other people how to get saved and use your feet. I had somebody tell me, we had a club in our church, it's called the 100 Club. That is, this year in 2024, if they go with their feet and tell a person how to get saved and they trust Christ, then they keep going until they get 100 people and they have at least one of them baptized, then they're in the 100 Club. Not the 700 Club, the 100 Club. And they do that at the end of the year. Well, I had a person tell me, about a week ago, Pastor, I'm already made it to the 100, but I'm still going on. There's a person that got their feet wet and got saved through being in this church and were led to the Lord. And then they decided, I'm going to go with others and tell people about Jesus and get other people saved. And so now their feet are wet. The water of healing covers their ankles. And I'm wondering with you, are your feet wet? Do the waters cover your ankles today? If not, I got to tell you, come on in. The water's fine. And get your feet covered if you're not doing it. When's the last time you led somebody to the Lord? Come on in. The water's fine. But wait a minute, it doesn't stop there. Notice in chapter 47 of Ezekiel, verse 4, the guide said, okay, I want you to measure another 1,000 cubits. I want you to do another third of a mile. So he did that, and it talks about that in verse 4 of chapter 47. I'll read it. It says, again, he measured to 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the what? Knees. Now, some of you, you're on the sidelines. You're not even saved. You haven't even stepped into the water of God's love and grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that, I am saying to you this morning, better yet, Jesus is saying to you this morning, through this message, come on in. The water's fine. Jesus was in that water. Come on in. Once you get in that water, some of you got in that water, let's be honest, you're not even dedicating your feet to the Lord. They're not covered with the healing water of life. You're not, your feet aren't busy for God. Telling people. And I say to you this morning, and Jesus says to you this morning, because he did it, come on in. The water's fine, young person. Come on in, boy or girl. Come on in, man or woman. If you're saved, now come and get your feet covered. The water is fine. But notice, this one covered the knees. It said the knees got covered. And it said again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters, Sister Judy, were to the knees. I know you've had some concern about the knees, but here the knees represent not just your physical knees, the knees represent what part of the Christian life? How about prayer? Amen? How about prayer? And so your knees need to get covered with the healing grace and love of Jesus Christ. I can remember before this church became a church in Scranton, those of us that came down here to plant this church, we were up in the hills of Clark's Green, Pennsylvania. We were up in Baptist Bible College, and we were talking to one another, and we said, hey, we don't have a recent answer to prayer. You know what? We have to go back a few years to share answers to prayer. We had a failure of our knees. We had a failure of getting things from God, asking and receiving things from God. And I wonder, when's the last time when you had a definite answer to prayer? You're missing out on the Christian life if you don't have regular answers to prayer. And the Bible is saying, the Lord is saying, look, I want to invite you. Come on in, the water's fine. You can have regular answers to prayer. You can go to the Father in my name. That means you're going trusting the Lord's merit to get into the presence of the Father, and that you are doing what the Lord wants you to do. So you're praying for what He would want. You're doing it in representing Jesus. And you can do that if you're saved. You can do that if you're telling others about Jesus Christ and getting them saved. And you can pray that God would bless, and He will give you blessings and great things. We've noticed in this church that we've been seeing people get saved. We've been seeing people get baptized. We have almost twice as many people that have been saved and baptized this year as last year. You say, Pastor, where does that come from? People that their feet are covered and they're going out on a Thursday. They're going out on a Saturday. They're going out on other days, and they are giving people the gospel and inviting them to get saved, just like Jesus is inviting you to get your feet wet and get saved. But then, not only that, once they get saved, we say, hey, you got friends, you got relatives, come with us, and we'll tell them. We know a lot. You don't know as much as we do. We know how to share the gospel, but you know more people than we do because you just got saved. You have people. And so let's go with you. And these people have dedicated their feet to the Lord. But then they realize, listen to me, oh, I need to pray, because their hearts need to be open to the Lord. When's the last time you prayed and God opened somebody's heart to get saved? I have people, sometimes they tell me when I go to their door, they slam the door in my face. And they say, don't come back here again. And you know what I do? I pray for God to open another door. And I look for that door right on the same block. I just did that yesterday. Right on the same block where that blockhead lives. And I say, God, open that heart. Sometimes I see people that claim to be saved. They leave the Lord. They leave the church. They go away, and they harden their heart. And I say, God, bring in some new people. Open some new hearts. Get some more people saved. You see, that is how we get it. It's obeying God and going out, but it's also praying to God. Because if you're going to talk to people about God, you should first what? Talk to God about people. By the way, you're here this morning. Do you know people have been talking to God about you so that you'd hear this message? Are you getting it this morning? People have been talking to God about you so you get your feet wet and get saved. People have been talking to God about you so that if you're saved, that you'll get your feet covered to the ankles and dedicate them to going out there and marching on the gates of hell with the gospel. And if that's the case, people have been praying for you that you will get into prayer and have answers to prayer. And guess what? When the disciples saw Jesus pray and the immediate answers He was getting, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not teach us how to pray. They just said, teach us to pray with that kind of effect. Do you have that kind of prayer life? You can have it. You can get your knees covered in the love and the grace of God, and you can make a difference. And then, thirdly, I want to say this. The best place to get your loins covered is in the house of God. Now, I'm not talking just about modest dress, although that works too. But it says here in Ezekiel 47, again, he measured 1,000. That's 1/3 of a mile. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the loins. So if you check your Bible, the feet represent soul winning, the knees prayer. But how about the loins? What do the loins represent? The loins represent strength for the battle. You know, God says to a soldier in the Bible, gird up your loins like a man. In other words, go to battle. God says to a woman that he wants to work in the home, he said, gird your loins with strength. It represents strength. If you have a major league hitter, and a good hitter that really hits, he has the power in the lower body, and his swing comes from his lower body, and that gives him his power. Maybe we'll see that at the picnic today for somebody. I'll throw it right to you. The loins, the power. A weightlifter, when he lifts weights over his head, if he lifts a very heavy weight, what does he have to have on a lot of times around his loins? A belt, a weight belt, right? And then you can lift more. And it is a place of power that comes out of the loins. A boxer, when he boxes and hits with knockout power, how does he do it? It comes from the lower body, from the loins. When a boxer loses his legs, I see a boxer, sometimes he's boxing, he gets hit, his legs are gone. I know that boxer's ready to get knocked out, amen? He's lost his legs. I'm just saying to you, the loins being covered speaks of your getting God's strength to battle for the Lord. And I want to say to you, if you get your feet wet and get saved, the devil doesn't like it. Like they say, if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack, you know. You got saved, praise God. And then you get your feet covered and you start leading people to Jesus, and not just being a walkie, but you start being a talkie, and you get people saved. The devil doesn't like that, amen. Right. You got your feet covered. Right. And then you go out and you start getting your knees and you start praying. The devil and his helpers, they're like, uh-oh. They're praying. They're praying, old Biden gets out of there and they get a real president in there. Oh, I don't like them praying. I don't like them praying for people to get saved. Oh, man, there are going to be people getting saved and coming down the aisle saying, I just trusted Jesus. They're going to get baptized to be a testimony. Oh, I don't want them getting in the baptistry water. Baptism doesn't save you, but it shows others you're saved. Right. That you mean business. Right. Hey, oh, I don't want that happening. Oh no. And the devil, he gets afraid. You know what the Bible says to me? Resist the devil, right, standing firm in your faith. Your faith gives you the strength to do battle for Satan. How many times, Brother Joe, have I seen people rise up in this church to fight God and his work and his man and his ministry? Sometimes subtly at first, but it comes out. And I've seen people run away. Instead of resisting the devil, they just say, oh, let him in. But some of us that have had our loins covered, listen to me, we've stood there when others have run away. You know Stonewall Jackson? Old Stonewall, when others would run away, he would stand there and fight. Why? Because he knew God's strength was what he relied on in the battlefield. He was a born-again Christian. Have you stood there and been strong in the Lord? When others ran away, if we had everybody here that ran away, Joe, we'd have no room to put them. Amen? Have you had your loins covered? Do you know what it's like to fight for God? Do you know what it's like to stand firm in your faith when everybody else is turning against God and his work and his man? Do you know that? I trust that many have not ever had their loins covered. at all with the waters of God's love and grace. But I want to say to you this morning, I've been there, I've done that. Jesus is saying to you this morning, I've been there, I've done that. Ezekiel is saying this morning, I've been there and done that, so to speak. And by way of application, we're saying to you, come on in, beloved. The water is fine. Amen. You say, but what if somebody I really love turns away? You stay. You don't love Jesus more than a woman or more than a man. If you're a woman, you know what I'm talking about. You don't love Jesus. Stand there! Have your loins covered! Do you have the strength to stand? Now, some of you, I'll tell you why you don't have the strength to stand. It's not because of the devil. It's because of your own sinful nature. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6, and in the power of his might. You can't be strong in the Lord if you're sucking in cigarettes all the time. You can't be strong in the Lord if you're practicing fornication. You can't be strong in the Lord if you're drinking the liquor all the time. You're smoking the blunts. You are already captive. The devil knows it, by your own flesh.
Come on, preacher. Preach.
Your loins are not covered. And I'm calling you out this morning, and I'm saying, come on in. The water's fine. And get rid of that. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. Come on in. The water indeed is fine. Hey, this is the place to get your feet wet and get saved by trusting Jesus, amen, and knowing him as your personal Savior. This is the place to get your feet covered and go out. Once you get your feet covered, and go out and tell people about Jesus. This is the place to get your knees covered in the house of God and get answered a prayer that God is blessing your life. This is the place to do that right here and right now. And this is the place to get your loins covered so that when the devil comes at you, you can stand there, resist him, and then go forward again. We've done that in this church. Some have done that. And we say, come on in, the water is fine. Hey, the best place to get all in is in the house of God. That's the last thing I want to say. You say, what do you mean, get all in? All right, look at what Ezekiel 47:5 says. It says, afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in. A river that could be not passed over. So the prophet stepped into the water. He got his feet wet. Then he waded a little deeper, got his ankles covered. He waded a little deeper after soul winning. And then he went forward and got his knees covered for prayer. And then he went forward and got his loins covered for strength in the battle. And now he goes down another 1/3 of a mile, Jesse. And he can't even wade anymore, Jesse. He's swimming. The only way he can do it is by swimming. Now, Ezekiel just dove in over his head and started swimming. How many of you can't swim? Oh, don't worry. I'm not embarrassed. He just dove in and he just started swimming. Now, I'm thinking of a guy this morning that is a good illustration of that to me. He used to come to the church. And you see him on a Sunday morning, maybe come with a friend. He'd come a few weeks in a row, and you'd see him, and then you wouldn't see him for weeks. Then he'd come back, and he'd even go soul winning a little bit, and then you wouldn't see him again. And he'd come back a little bit, and I would talk to Brother Z, and I said, you know what that guy needs? That guy needs to get locked in. He's just not locked in. He's saved. He's been baptized. I believe the Lord's in his heart. He's just not locked in. He comes and goes. He's in and out. How would you do on a basketball team like that, huh? You'd be a flop, amen? And so I said to Brother Z, just get locked in. The guy is a guy named Jose Valley. And you know, Jose will tell you this. Jose Valley will tell you this. He said a couple years ago, he said, I just decided I was going to dive in. I just decided I was going to go all the way in. And I looked at Jose Valley, and how many times have I told you? He's definitely locked in. Jose Valley is swimming. You know, sometime when I'm preaching, I feel like I'm stepping on your toes. You know why? Because you're wading. Sometimes I'm stepping on your knees, your loins. Sometimes I'm stepping on your head. And you know what? I don't back off, do I? You say, why don't you back off, preacher? Because you need it. You need it. I'm not going to back off by the grace of God because you need it. But wait a minute here. Just wait. Hold the phone, Joan. Step on the brake, Jake. 1 minute. 1 minute. Watch your driving, Ivan. 1 minute. I'm going to say this to you. If you're swimming, I can't step on you because you're out there in the deep water swimming. And all I can do is swim with you. And that's where I want you to be. I want you to be out there swimming. Some of you were swimming and then you got to go backward and started wading to your loins. Then you waded to your knees and then you walked right out of here. And God said, you need to dive back in. You need to get back in. Lock, stock, and barrel, 100%. Now, wait a minute. Some people, they wade. I think of Brother Matthew here. He got in and he got his feet wet before he got here. He got saved before he got here, right? But he came in here and he really started getting his ankles covered. And then I said to Brother Matthew, you know what? You ought to go be a bus worker and help out in bus ministry. You're doing soul winning. And Brother Matthew started doing that. And then finally I said to Brother Matthew, you know, Brother Matthew, you ought to be a bus captain. He just kept getting himself in deeper. And then he waded into his knees and got his knees covered. He started praying because he needed God to help him to be a bus captain. And God did. And be a Sunday school teacher. And now he's a Sunday school teacher. He's a bus captain. He's a soul winner. He's in our Christian college to train for ministry. He got his knees covered. Then he got his loins covered. And he learned to stand against anybody that would leave the work of God, the man of God. He stood and got his loins covered and stood in the battle. He waited. And then when he couldn't wait anymore, Brother Matthew started swimming. He just didn't dive in all at once. He just kept getting in deeper. Hey, that reminds me of the song, Step Into the Water. Wait out a little bit deeper, amen. Until you're swimming in the love of God. Until you're swimming in the power of God. Until you're swimming in the goodness of God. Whoa! Now listen up really good. I sacrificed that for you. I was going to drink that. And now I can't drink it. Thank you, Brother Matthew. That's what you call swimming right there. He's helping me. Nobody's going to sleep through this message. Amen. I had that all planned, Brother Eric. Thank you, Brother Matthew. You know what? When you're swimming, you don't see a lot of your body. When you're wading, your body, see, you know why you don't see a lot of your body? Because the water is covering it when you're swimming. You know what? When you're swimming for the Lord, the Holy Spirit is covering you, the Spirit of Jesus. And you see more of Jesus than you see of you. That's the place I want to be. I'm sick of me. Amen. I know you're sick of you, but the world needs more of the love of Jesus and the water of life. And so when you're swimming, that is what is happening. There's more of Jesus, more about Jesus, what I learn. And so this morning, I want to say, jump in, dive in. The water's fine. Come on in. Get your feet wet with the saving eternal life that Jesus will give you. He said to the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God, who was talking to you, you would have asked and he would have given you. And the woman believed that he was the Savior. And right then she received that water. She got her feet wet. Then she got it covering her ankles. What'd she do? She went to the men in the village where she was that had fornicated with her. She told them, here's a man that saved me. You know, and they're like, wow, we want it. She got her feet. I'm sure she prayed, and those guys started getting saved. So she got her knees covered. And then you need to get your loins covered because the devil doesn't like it. Amen? And he'll test you to see if you stand. And then you need to just swim and just get so caught up so that you're not doing a work for the Lord. You're doing it with him. The water is holding you up. I'm so glad when I get up here and serve God, when I preach, not just here, but when I go out and I witness and I serve God, that I get the buoyancy from the Holy Spirit of Christ. He holds it up. That's why things are going around here. Why? Because some people got saved, they got baptized, they joined the church, then they got their ankles covered, they went out soul winning, they got their knees covered, they've been praying, and this church is not just air conditioned, it's what? Prayer conditioned. We have a Saturday prayer meeting, we have a Wednesday prayer, a Saturday prayer meeting for men in the morning at night, a Wednesday prayer meeting for everybody at 7 o'clock. This place is prayer conditioned. There are people praying in private. Jesus said, if you go in private, I'll reward you openly. That's why they got their knees covered. Boy, we need prayer for this country. We're in a spiritual warfare. The best thing we can do is pray and witness to these people that come in that the globalists want to take over the country, and they want to take over these people. Get them saved. Get them saved. That's a way to fight it. I'm just saying to you, let's swim for the Lord. Come on in this morning. The water is fine. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed this morning.